Just because it's a cliche doesn't mean it's not true. Absolute must-win game tonight on both sides. San Francisco and LA, if either of these teams want a shot at the playoffs, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Listen, Pearl, it's great for these teams. You know, the Rams talking about playing meaningful games in December. The San Francisco 49ers winning last week after they had lost three straight. Their season's on life support. I cannot underscore just how important tonight's game is for both of these teams.
It'd be a shame, too, because whoever wins is going to look like a really dangerous NFC playoff team. And you're right, they could still miss the playoffs if they can't catch the Seattle Seahawks. I think both these teams, if they were fully constituted and healthy, would be really good, like competitive in the NFC. I think they're right there with the Eagles and Lions and Packers. I just really like both these teams. I just don't think that we've really had, that's not been the case this year, and it's too late to catch up.
Well, yeah, ifs and buts were candy and nuts, right? Every day would be Christmas. I just think that what's going on is the Rams are getting healthier. And while San Francisco may also be getting healthier, check the injury report. You could have Dre Greenlaw making his season debut tonight. Of course, the very talented 49ers linebacker. But here's the thing. He's coming off a torn Achilles. Yeah. What's the workload going to be like and how much can he play? Nick Bosa also could be playing tonight. But the Rams just seem like they're healthier. You watch what Nacua and Kupp were able to do to the Buffalo Bills. They skewered my Bills defense. And it feels like the Rams are kind of trending up, even though both teams are coming off of really impressive wins for different reasons.
Well, it's so funny about the Niners. This is going to be amazing proof if Isaac Arendo, their third-string running back, or maybe fourth-string, is going to be questionable with a hurt foot that he hurt last week. So they'll go to their fifth-string running back and probably still be pretty good running the ball, meaning that anybody can play running back. I think it'd be Patrick Taylor is up next. That's a big deal. And Trent Williams is out again.
Yes,
so
he is.
You can't really consider this the full roster for the Niners, even if Greenlaw and Bosa do play. The other thing is, like, Bosa is so important. He hasn't really practiced much. Is he going to be really Nick Bosa? That's the question. Even if these guys are on the field, are they themselves? Because if you give Matthew Stafford time the way he's playing right now with the Rams, that's a big problem.
Listen, Matthew Stafford played his best game of the year last week. That is the perfect Matthew Stafford game that he can play. And I'm wondering if he can have the same type of success, though, against the 49ers. For all the flaws we talk about with San Francisco and how the season has been disappointing, you want to know the one thing they've been really good at? They've been good against the pass. Their defense is holding opposing offenses to under 200 yards passing in these games. And how Stafford really did his damage against Buffalo last week was passes in between like 10 and 20 yards. He was like 10 for 13 or something on those passes. And believe me, the three misses were not on him. This is where San Francisco might be able to tilt the field back in their direction, but they're going to have to be amazing. And this has got to be an all-time Kyle Shanahan game to keep this season alive. Because you're right, you're without your left tackle. You've been down and out. Debo's ticked off. You know, all these things that you've been dealing with this season, you need your opus tonight if you're Kyle Shanahan, because if you lose this game, New York Times says 4% chance to make the playoffs. ESPN saying 10% chance to make the playoffs. You get the idea. It's bleak right now for the 49ers. They basically have to win out. Couple scenarios where maybe they win three of the last four and could still get in, but you basically have to win out. It's got to start tonight.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, who's going to do it, Maggie? Like, is it going to be, obviously, if the running backs are hurt, it's going to have to be a big Brock Purdy game. Is he going to throw to Debo? You know, Debo's been complaining about his lack of use. Is it going to be a Kittle game? It's hard to figure out the scenario. Like, how are the Niners actually going to do this? You're not going to have your traditional Kyle Shanahan's going to run Christian McCaffrey down your throat for an entire game.
Yeah, he's
on IR. Yeah, right. That's what I mean. Like, I think you're going to put a lot on Brock Purdy tonight. And that's been having mixed results this year.
Well, I'll tell you who it's got to be a big game for. Purdy, yes, number one, and Juwan Jennings. It's got to be a Purdy-Juwan Jennings night. And the last time that these two teams met, which was in September, so it was a long time ago, Purdy threw for almost 300 yards and three touchdowns. And a lot of that, 175 of those yards, went to Juwan Jennings.
You think, though, it has to be a big Debo game? Like, it's got to be, if they're really going to be the Niners, like, Debo Samuel has to show up. I feel like he's got to out-tough the Rams, run over a guy and send a message. I mean, they've had Juwan Jennings been good all year, and it's not the same team when Juwan Jennings is your 1A receiver.
Right, but you're asking me who's got to have a big game. It's Jennings, it's Kittle, and it's Debo. And the thing about Debo and what he's been saying all week, because obviously he put out a tweet where he said, it's not me, I'm just not getting the ball. Like, it's not my lack of production, I'm just not getting the ball. That's just not true. Debo has the second most touches on the team. He has 72 touches so far this year. Through the same time last season, he had 75.
It's in the last month, though, has he gotten the ball?
Well,
and in the passing game especially. I know he's getting, and also his running game, seems like he's having a harder time getting around people. I don't think he's really been a huge part of the passing game lately. I mean, you mentioned Jennings. Seems like he gets a fair share of the targets. And Kittle's having a big year.
Yep.
Kittle's back.
So the one thing that Debo has been talking about, again, we're talking about tonight's matchup, San Francisco hosting the Rams, massive game for both sides. We'll get to the Rams side of it in a second. But the other thing that Debo is saying is he's not taking people by surprise anymore with him being a part of the run game. Like, we've known that this is going to happen since 2020 when they unleashed this and it took everybody by surprise. And that's why I'm saying this has got to be the Kyle Shanahan, like, this has got to be the genius game, because you're going to be, like, I don't say at a deficit talent-wise because the 49ers have a good roster, but you've got to find a way to scheme out Debo. You've got to find a way to make this work on offense.
Yeah, I mean, look at his numbers over the last couple games. He got 2 catches on 3 targets against Chicago, 4 catches on 5 targets, 1 catch on 4 targets, 22 yards, 21 yards, 20 yards, 22 yards. This guy was averaging like 80 yards a game as a receiver. I don't really know what's going on there. I just think he might be a little slower. I do think it's him.
So I was scrolling around a little bit on some 49ers message boards.
Ooh.
I've got that kind of time. I mean, I really don't, but I found this was fun. There's a couple theories out there about Debo that perhaps he is not fully recovered from the pneumonia that put him in the hospital back in, was that October? Late October? When he missed a game for pneumonia? What do you think about that theory? Again, that one's
like
coming
that.
Straight from the message boards.
I like that theory. And I assume he has 9 other injuries, too.
Well, of course, they're football players, and it's December.
Especially him. He's always, I watched a documentary, he's got to do acupuncture just to get out of bed.
I think they all do. Meanwhile, on the Rams side of this, they've been one of the hottest teams in the NFL. They've won 6 of their last 8 games with signature wins against Minnesota, Seattle, and, of course, my Bills last week. And how about this for Stafford? Last week was just beautiful. But in the last 4 weeks, Perloff, he's thrown for 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions. We are seeing the ultimate Matthew Stafford right now.
You know, I'm not giving Stafford the credit. I think this is a Puka Nacua project. Like, he's so hard to cover. The dude could catch anything in any window and then run over your biggest player. Honestly, what's a record? Well, get the research team when Nacua is on the field this year. I think if he was healthy in the beginning of the year, this would not be a must-win game for the Rams. And we argued about this after the Rams beat the Bills. You're like, Sean McDermott blew this. I'm like, that's not the game I saw. I saw a superior receiver have the game of his life against the Bills. And you just, like, the Bills did not play bad defense. They were all over him, and he just made the catches. So I wonder if that'll happen tonight. I mean, the Niners, if the Rams... The Rams basically have what Debo was 3 years ago to the Niners.
Yep.
Puka Nacua will just run over people and make impossible catches. I don't think his style of play can last that long. He's probably got 3 years of this, but he is a machine right now.
Yeah, I might agree with you. I don't know if Buffalo played bad defense. They played ineffective defense. Ineffective.
He caught a ball where he was fully extended on the sideline. What's ineffective about that? Like, okay. That there's no way any other person was going to catch that.
Okay, that was sick.
But what about the 9 other catches that he had? There were some that were just so wide open that he could have caught them with his eyes closed. So, yeah, sideline one was all time. That's a great, and honestly, like, defender played that as good as they could play it. But there were a lot of other ones where they were totally open. And here's the thing. The Bills don't really love to blitz a lot. That's really not their thing. But they could not get... were getting absolutely cooked in the secondary. So they're like, well, we should probably bring some pressure on Stafford. And then he figured that out.
That's because Stafford doesn't even really need to throw an accurate pass. Like, Nacua and Kupp will just outgrab. Remember Kupp's touchdown in the end zone against the Bills? He was in between 2 defenders, but his hands are so strong. Like, this is a receiver team. This is... Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Now, the problem is Kyle Shanahan knows this team so well. So I think the Bills do not see a lot of the Rams. This is not a...
Thank goodness.
They do not game plan.
It's dark.
Yeah, they don't game plan for this. This is, you mentioned, it's a coaching battle. Shanahan had McVay's number, right? And then McVay beat him in the playoffs. This is really, it's such a chess match because I'm curious after last week, like how are the Niners going to approach this Nacua Cup issue?
I mean, probably winging a prayer.
Well, but you want to get Bosa after a quarterback. That's the thing. But is Bosa going to be healthy enough to do that?
Well, he's questionable, and I think that means he's going to play. But again, like the 49ers, we malign their defense. We say you got to bring back Robert Saleh, and you got to find your next D'Amico Ryans. But in the meantime, they actually have been good against the pass. Now, you're right. It's going to be a chess match. Here's some numbers for you. If the Rams win tonight, their playoff chances go to 50%. Take those chances, considering they have an under 500 record. Or no, 500, just above 500. If the Rams lose tonight, playoff chances go down to 25%. Guys, this is an important game. This is it. And the 49ers are hanging on for dear life. I mean, they need to like basically win out and hope 14 other things break in their favor to try to make that seven seed. That's it.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Of these teams, the winner, because the loser is almost done, as you just mentioned, Maggie, which of these teams you feel like has the better chance to make this not a lost season by like winning this game and then going on a run? Maybe these aren't Super Bowl teams, but maybe winning a game or two.
I'm a Rams guy because I mean the Rams are right there with the Lions when they played. That was last year, right? I think that Matthew Stafford's probably the best quarterback in the NFC. I know you could say Goff, but I think Stafford's a better quarterback. He's definitely better than Jalen Hurts. Jordan Love's playing really well, but I think Stafford's the guy. So to me, it's the Rams.
Man, how far we've come from all that Purdy MVP talk.
Purdy's not bad at all, but Stafford is like the GOAT.
I mean, but you just said you think this is a wide receiver team.
Yeah,
I do.
I think it's all because of the wideouts. But I do think, like, listen, you're going to have the Rams against anybody. Like, there's definitely not going to be an advantage quarterback. Now, Purdy's good, but I think the Stafford's proven he can win a Super Bowl.
Definitely.
Stafford's a Hall of Famer, so it's a little different. And he's healthy, and he looks healthier than he's looked in a long time. Also, the issue with the Rams is their defense is so young, they do so many stupid things.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. That's why I'm tempted to go 49ers, because you're getting some healthier guys. If Dre Greenlaw can be healthy, if Bosa can be healthy, I actually like the 49ers. I know their defense is not what it was, but I do like the 49ers defense. The Rams defense, I know it's being like called like Josh Allen and how great he was. Like, let's be real. Like, what happened in the second half? They got sliced and diced by that. Like that, they let up 42 points.
Yeah, they went in a little prevent mode.
Well, I mean, win the game, which they did. But that is a bit. That's a little bit alarming. Their defense is. They definitely hit on Verse. They definitely hit on Fisk. This is a young defense that looks really good. But I think I would probably trust the 49ers defense a bit more.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, these are both pretty good running teams. And that is a key to this game. It's not really going to be a quarterback. Either of them can get into the playoff run and get hot on the ground. Then that's a big issue. I feel like this all playoff field, like everybody's going to try and control the game with running. Both these teams can do that. So I think they're both a little bit dangerous, to be honest. But I'm looking at the Rams right now as a really interesting team.
By the way, Isaac Grindo plans to play, according to Adam Schefter, this morning.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Feels good.
I also have a question.
Yeah.
Yes.
With our concerns about Brock Purdy, does this now, almost a year later, make Cam Newton correct about him being a game manager?
Cam was always right about that.
But no, Brock Purdy doesn't play like a game manager at all. He runs around like a chicken with his head cut off. He is not running the playbook anymore. Now he's just moving his pivot. He's pivoting to different spots all over the field. Like he's playing, like if you watch Brock Purdy now, it'd be good if he could game manage, but he doesn't trust his line because Trent Williams is out. So he's trying to be like a very short version of Cam Newton.
Well, I was going to say, and also the 49ers are under 500.
Right.
Like,
no, they don't want
Purdy in the system. And by the way, like we always say that, you know, this was I got skewered, Ray, last season for being an air quotes Purdy hater because I said I thought McCaffrey was really the key, that he was the MVP, and that Purdy was more of the system guy. And everyone told me that I was holding his draft bias against him and all of that stuff. Let's see what happens here. Because I'm interested in, yes, Purdy, game manager. It's not the same as some of the other quarterbacks. That's not a crime. And I'm curious about the contract. I am. Is he going to get paid like an MVP runner-up? Whatever you think of Dak Prescott and how that whole thing went with the Cowboys, Pearl, they did pony up for Prescott. They paid him at the top of the market because he is an MVP runner-up and he is a good quarterback. I'm curious what happens with Purdy.
I do not think he's going to be the next man up to get $60 million. I think they're going to get in a bargain. They're probably going to be coming off a losing season. And also, he's going to be banged up. He's been banged up all year. So I do not see this as a $60 million. They could definitely get him for... They'll do 3 years of 48.
Oh, that's... No. 3 years, 48?
Or maybe
that's
they'll
not do... enough money. He's still a fifth. Quarterback. That's backup money.
They have a lot of leverage on him. They know... I'm telling you, they... I think the quarterback market's going to get corrected a little bit because it was such a hot mess this year.
I'm going to disagree with that because I think Sam Darnold's getting $100 million. And I don't think it's going to be
nothing.
From the Vikings. Well, you said Purdy's going to sign 3 years, 48. The kicker's making more.
Darnold's not going to get $50 million. So that's a correction. I think Darnold, he'll get it right around 41, 42.
I think Darnold could get something like when... whatever it gets denounced as, but I think he gets something in the neighborhood of like 2 years, $100 million, like 50 a year for a shorter contract. Although Darnold's actually pretty young.
I think Breer reported that expect him to get like a Baker Mayfield contract with a little bit more. So Baker Mayfield is 30 something and the franchise tag is 41. So it's going to be right around the franchise tag number because they could just tag him if they want. The Vikings, that is.
That's true, but I think they're going to still go with McCarthy. But here's the thing. Let's see how far the Vikings go in the playoffs. Because Baker Mayfield won against your Eagles and then went to Detroit and lost a close game. And I think that pushed the money up a little bit. If, let's say, the Vikings somehow make the NFC Championship game, I think Darnold's getting the bag. It could be for the 49ers, by the way.
Wes Phillips, the OC, said, I think earlier this week, that Darnold's already shown that he should be paid like a real starting quarterback this year.
Regardless of
what happens in the playoffs, which I think is a leap.
I'll tell you right now, I would not rule out Darnold going back to the Vikings because there's only like two or three places that will even recruit him. Like, there's no free agent quarterback teams this year, so he's not going to have a ton of choices. Like what, the Saints, the Giants? I don't think...
Well, the Giants will probably draft a quarterback.
Right. All the teams that need a quarterback are young and not ready to win right now, so there's not going to be a massive... Aaron Rodgers like market for him. Actually, Aaron Rodgers didn't even have a big market. You're right. So I think I would watch out for the Vikings. I would like to do a show prediction that he's the Vikings quarterback next year.
I don't think that people are into this quarterback class though very much.
No, like, there's no one to draft.
Ward, and that's like last year we had six first round quarterbacks. People were in love with that class.
But why would the Titans, for example, who are young and not ready to win anything, invest a 5 year? $200 million Kyler Murray contract into Sam Darnold. They don't feel ready to have a free agent like that.
Because they're picking sixth. And because they don't like a quarterback, you're not going to run it back with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. You're going to, if Brian Callahan did that with the Titans, you're asking to get fired.
Right, but a 5 year commitment to Sam Darnold means that you can never draft another guy.
Yeah, but they did it with Tannehill, and the Tennessee Titans might think, hey, we'll take somebody else's, look at what we did to Tannehill, and Darnold is coming off of a way bigger high than even Tannehill. Now we're talking about the Titans. We're talking about the 49ers and the Rams.
Well, we're really kind of talking about Brock Purdy. Like,
that's true.
What is the market? And the Niners know they have leverage. Nobody's paying. No other team is going to be like, the Titans aren't paying $50 million for Brock Purdy. That's just not going
to
happen.
I will say, I do agree with Paul that I think Brock Purdy would be an idiot to try to leave San Francisco.
He's not going to.
I don't know what the leverage situation is, but I would not force my hand too much if I was him.
Okay, but here's the thing. It might not be his choice. Listen, we want Darnold. Maybe not. I mean, Darnold was the backup. Legit, Purdy had the job, so I'm not going to say all of a sudden the depth chart's going to flip, but...
Well, you guys know who I want to see there more than anything.
Aaron Rodgers.
Kyle Shanahan and Aaron Rodgers, it's been looming in the universe. They have to come together.
I feel like you want to see
what it would be like.
I feel like you want to see Aaron Rodgers everywhere.
No, my number one is San Francisco.
He can be more places.
He's in Minnesota, too.
Minnesota, just to be far. Kevin O'Connell and Kyle Shanahan are two coaches I'd like to see with Aaron Rodgers.
I'd like to see Aaron Rodgers in anything but a Jets uniform. So I agree with you 100%. Please go there.
You want to see Aaron Rodgers walking into the forest in Costa Rica, the rainforest?
Yes, just keep going, Aaron. I'm sure there are aliens in the pyramids.
It's a little bit further. Just keep going. Keep walking. Go on that soul journey. Soul searching.
He's going to be good next year on another team. I'm going to laugh so hard.
855-212-4227. Got a lot of 49ers fans listening to us. We have Rams fans in our audience. I feel special that we have Rams fans in our audience because I don't think there's a lot of them. And they choose our show. Which is great. 855-212-4227, the playoff race in the NFC, the future of Brock Purdy, the future of Sam Darnold. you're welcome to weigh in on it all. 855-212-4227. Coming up next, Bill Belichick, UNC, why it's going to work. I've got a five-step plan for Belichick. Next.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. So Bill Belichick is the new head coach of North Carolina football. Apparently, Maggie, he showed up with a 400-page manifesto. Now, I understand you have a plan that's not quite 400 pages, a little more succinct.
Yeah, you know, it's 2024. Who's got the attention span for a 400-page Bible when can do a five-point keys to success?
Yeah, nobody in North Carolina read a word of that 400-page manifesto.
Wouldn't
right?
it be funny if it was actually blank from like page 20 on?
Absolutely.
But when I used to do a show with Bart Scott, he said they used to play this trick on the rookies where when they actually had playbooks before, they would hide $100 like towards the back of the playbook and be like, "So, what'd you think of the playbook?" And the people who didn't find the $100, they would obviously know.
Yeah,
they
didn't
read the playbook.
Now, then they created the system for Kyler Murray where they're tracking his iPad because they knew he wasn't reading it.
All right, I got a
five-point plan for Bill Belichick.
Five-point plan for Bill Belichick to have success at the University of North Carolina. All right, here we go. Number five on the list, Bill Belichick has to keep doing the Pat McAfee show. It is very important that Bill Belichick not go back into I hate the media mode. Mm-hmm. He's now been in the media for 4 months, four glorious months, where he was on every channel. He's got to keep that kind of visibility. McAfee helps him because that show is so positive and everything. Got to keep doing McAfee every week.
Is that like Doug Gottlieb is coaching a college basketball team and I still see him on radio opining on the upcoming Niners-Rams game?
Exactly. You got to wear a lot of hats these days.
Okay.
But Belichick being grumpy with the media, that's got to be a thing of the past. He's got to keep doing McAfee. Number four, he's got to make the playoff by year two. It may be a no-brainer. I'm not saying he has to win everything, but he's got to make the playoff by year two for this thing to really get the boat in the water in the right kind of way.
Okay. Number I would have thought the five-point plan was so you could get to the playoff, not...
Well, it's all-encompassing.
Okay.
Number three on the list of Maggie's five-point plan for Bill Belichick to be successful at UNC. I mentioned before, his secret weapon, he's got to bring Nick Saban into the building. Nick Saban, as a consultant, Nick Saban as some kind of, I want to say mentor, because they're both all-time great coaches, and Saban actually might be older, but whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, getting... Belichick's a year older.
Belichick's
a
year
older. Yeah, they got to... I mean, you're getting cutting edge and modern with Mike Lombardi at GM and Nick Saban.
Yes, don't worry. I'll get to my youth movement in a minute, you've got to bring in Saban. He's got to be your sort of... he's got to help you navigate whatever tricky waters that come up that you don't see.
Okay.
So unforeseen things. Saban can help you there. Obviously, the two have been friends for decades. Number two on my list of a five-point plan to help Bill Belichick. You got to start tapping into the early Tom Brady. People think of Tom Brady now as the guy with the 7 Super Bowls and Brady was responsible for the dynasty or whatever TikTok's going to tell these young kids. He's got to tap into what was Brady like for those first 3 Super Bowls? How did Brady go from pick 199 to the greatest of all time? And the early era of Brady is what Belichick has to remind people of how, A, they were winning with defense, and two, how he developed Tom Brady. Not get away from Tom Brady, the fully formed GOAT. Get into and start tapping into how Brady got there. That's going to be very important for Belichick to build the mystique and to really recruit a great QB.
Okay.
And the number one thing that Bill Belichick must do to become successful at North Carolina, you gotta tap in to your 24-year-old girlfriend to understand young people today. And I just realized what that sounded like, tapping into the girlfriend. But guys, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about, Maggie. I am happily engaged.
He's gotta lean on having a young person in his inner circle. Right? We talk about now people with young kids and how, you know, bogus, like you have how old is Jake? 11?
Yeah.
Just turned 11. A little hipper, a little up to speed. You brought us Chapel Roan.
Yeah.
We didn't know about her.
I know who Sabrina Carpenter is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Jake is super hip.
He's super hip. Your daughter, Abby's
hipper
super
than you.
Hip.
Yes, but Jake is the opposite of a hipster. Jake is obsessed with, like, the Mets lineup.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Listen. this is the thing. He has a young person who understands social media. He's got a young person who's speaking the language of these young players. And as clunky as I just described that, she could be a secret weapon for him. Because she can be a little bit of a youth translator, if you will. She's the Rosetta Stone of this thing. I know that it's weird because Bill Belichick is 72 and he's dating a 24-year-old or however old she is. But at this point, it's actually an advantage for him.
Yeah, how does this actually bridge the gap? Explain, like, in day-to-day world what that really means. Like, how does this help? Like, a defensive end comes in and says, "Coach, I don't understand this," and he brings in his girlfriend. Like, how does this work?
It's going to be understanding TikTok. It's going to be understanding Instagram. This is something like we play that Bane clip all the time. I was born into the darkness. You just adopted it. She's been born into the social media era. She understands. She lives this every day. Belichick has no use for it, doesn't care. She could be the translator for what young people are going through and how they talk, speak, everything for a 72-year-old. Maybe he becomes more lovable grandpa than out of touch grandpa.
Wow. I definitely don't need to see you tongue kissing.
That one's ready to go.
That's all. Those are really good points. But isn't it way more important that he gets a good quarterback out of the transfer portal than any of that?
Well, sure. That's why I said he has to also hearken back to the early Brady years. He developed Brady.
Can I ask, a serious question? Like, does he want a running quarterback? Does he want a throwing quarterback? Like, what's he going to do? I'm very curious. Like, is he going to be a defensive-oriented team? Is that a good thing in college football? Like, I am dying to know. All that is fun and good, but, like, how is he going to recreate the Tom Brady Patriots in college?
The football side is the part I'm least worried about.
I think the key is, like, look at this year's season. Like, you need the great transfer portal quarterback. So I'm curious, like, is that guy out there? EJ, you follow this really, really closely. Is there a quarterback that can be a young Tom Brady?
That's the thing about this portal class is it's not good yet right now. Yeah. And maybe more bigger guys will come out, and we you know, that's the expectation. But it's slim pickings. Like, the best guy is going to Duke. Like, that tells you all you need to know right now. And Mensa's good.
I think that helps. It goes to show that the best guy's not always going to Alabama. The best guy's not always going to Georgia.
But I think it also shows that, like, those teams are like, I'm good in the portal. We'll keep whoever we have here.
Mm. Let's see how Belichick changes this a little bit. And by the way, Brady lost his job in Michigan. He was a backup. Maybe there is somebody who's sitting on on the sidelines right now that he could turn into. And the other thing too, Perloff, I know you don't like to give any credit to Bill Belichick about this, but they did make the playoffs the first year with Mac Jones. It's not like he has never had any type of success without Brady there with a young quarterback. Mac Jones, they made the playoffs in his first year, and then it went totally downhill from there.
But I'm looking at there are a few exceptions, but if you look at the college football playoff this year, it feels like a lot of older transfer quarterbacks are the key. And, like, I'm not saying he has a lot of money. He could get that guy. I think he has to choose right when it comes to, because the quarterback's going to have the ball in their hand. It's even probably more important in college football now. Okay. Unless he's got Ashton Jeanty back there, which I don't think he does. Like, he's got to get the right guy. But luckily, you know, he has his girlfriend to recruit this guy.
I realized the way
teach him a TikTok dance.
I realized the way I described that.
Remember when LSU won? Like, if we're mostly guys here, we could talk. When LSU won and that woman was doing the dance with the team.
At the White House.
Yeah. Who was it?
Get the gat.
That probably got a lot of recruits.
But she wasn't 24.
No, I know, but. Like, that's sort of what are you, like, because he's got an attractive girlfriend? Like,
no, yeah. I didn't even make a commentary on her looks. I only made a commentary on her age.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was wondering how this works. You're like, well, she'll help him understand TikTok. I wondered if, like, she's coming into the living room with him to recruit.
I don't know about that.
I think he should keep, I don't remember the woman's name, but he should keep her away from these guys.
No, it's not about being in around the guys. I'm saying it's about understanding.
Why is that, though?
They're the correct age demographic.
I'm afraid to go on air with this, but you guys saw what happened in Alabama. One of the guys got kicked off because he was hollering at Kalen DeBoer's girl. That girl has a daughter, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, like, they're 18, 19-year-old boys. They're going to do stupid stuff. Like,
No. She can't be around them. I'm saying she was a translator.
Miss Terry was always around in Alabama. Right. A lot of these wives are, like, almost like extensions of the coaching staff. Like, this, I don't think that she can be a part of this.
Are we looking at a potential McVay-Jared Goff thing where Jared Goff wrote something on Instagram about McVay's girlfriend and then he had to cut him for Matthew Stafford?
It's like, a very weird dynamic. I don't know if it's a benefit.
I think it's a positive. Listen, is it going to be like, you know...
I like what you said.
Like the team mom? No, she's not going to be the team mom like Miss Terry. That's not the dynamic. But that's also why this works is number one in my five-step plan to help Bill Belichick be successful at North Carolina. Having the young girlfriend, I think, just helps you kind of understand the lingo and just sort of the thought process of young people today.
At the same time, though, there is an aspect of when you're recruiting and you're talking to parents. And parents want to know, what's the family life like? What's life at home? And you say, oh, I got a 24-year-old girlfriend. I think there will be some parents that will be like, what?
What parent is saying to Bill Belichick, who wants their kid to potentially go to the NFL, is like, sorry, what's your home life like? Bill Belichick doesn't totally have a home life.
I 100% disagree with that. Like, my understanding of living rooms is the priorities are, they're not like, the kids want to go to the NFL. The parents are talking about all sorts of different things. Like, religion is a big issue on the recruiting trail.
All that weird stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
But this is, no, I agree with Maggie, though.
That could
like,
help you I think or hurt you. This country is divided right down the middle.
No, I mean, 24-year-old girlfriend is like, I don't know what the demographic is that's like, that's cool.
Well, I don't know.
They're called dads.
I don't think that people are saying, are you going to have this woman around my kid?
I don't think Belichick's going to be a good recruiter at all. I think that's why they need that big NIL fund. I don't think Belichick's going to be interested. They're going to pay the players. This is very much like, this is transactional. They're like, this is an NFL team. These are contracts. I'm not going to go into living rooms and say, you're going to do this, that, and the other thing. They need the money to do all that, which is fine. That's all you need in today's game.
I don't think we're doing living rooms anymore.
Yeah, no, that kind of guy.
Instead, they come to me with who can play here. Like, they just bring me the guys. Like, that's how this works now. Like, I don't think the idea of, like, guys helicoptering onto a high school field and then, like, meeting the parent, that doesn't happen anymore.
Also,
it's all negotiated.
If you do get that freshman, we talk about this all the time, like, he's probably not going to stick around. So do you even want that 18-year-old so you can train him in the ways of Bill Belichick and then watch him go to Alabama?
That's a big thing that he's going to have to figure out. Yeah. Do you go to the high schools or do you what Dion did and basically go to the portal and try to... reinvent your team every single year.
You're going to pay for a team. You're definitely doing the portal.
I do think what you see, though, is that the best teams do both. Like,
yeah.
Georgia has the number one recruiting class every year, and they get great transfers every year. I think that if you try to do one or the other, you're probably going to fail in one way. It's hard to just turn over your roster and just say, we have 60 new guys every year. It's hard to say, I'm going to do Dabo Sweeney. I'm going to develop 60 good players. That's hard to do, too.
Colorado brought in that left tackle who was a recruit and kind of transformed the line. So you're right. I think EJ's right. A combo would be good.
Of course, just like how we ran the Patriots, which is mostly the draft, and then you supplement with free agency. It's just like the NFL. And then the other part, too, about like Belichick's personal life, and I think the young girlfriend could be a positive to help him sort of relate to young people today. You're telling me parents care about the personal lives of these coaches when Bobby Petrino's coaching, Hugh Freeze is coaching, and I can give you five other embarrassing examples of guys who have just been a train wreck in their personal life and still are employed today.
But that's true. But by the way, Hugh Freeze and Bobby Petrino walk into a living room, I'm sure they are dazzling. I mean, dazzling. I bet you Hugh Freeze could talk you out of, you think that you could recruit with Bobby Petrino and Hugh Freeze? They could probably talk you out of your car in your living room if you wanted to.
The guy said that he butt-dialed an escort service 35 times.
Yeah, but, I mean, he did all that. Like, can you imagine
Manny,
if he did that?
That happened.
You laugh at Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze, like, this is college football. Car salesman. They all are. Belichick is not.
I'm just saying, the personal life, I don't think it matters as much as you guys think. But
It's so funny. Like, I don't think, like, parents are different. Like, that's better than having a 24-year-old girlfriend. That's definitely, like, moms aren't going to like that. Maggie, we know that.
Your headlines, guys, are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
You can pick that all up.
I will.
That's
happily.
A good transition.
ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Alphaville featuring the Atlanta Hawks.
Here comes Jalen Johnson with it. Hands it out to Trey. A long three by Trey. He's got another one. And the Hawks have taken the lead. Trey Young has done it again, folks, to the people in New York. Forever, forever. lane. Alley-oop. Clint Capella jams it home again. It's just about time to put the Knicks to sleep, folks.
Oh, but they don't care about it. It's only the NBA Cup quarterfinals. What a night at MSG again for Trae Young. 22 points, 11 assists. The Hawks a 108-100 win, so they will face the Bucks in Vegas on Saturday. The Rockets claiming the other spot in Vegas with a 91-90 home win over the Warriors. Jalen Green hit two free throws with 3.5 seconds left off a debatable loose ball foul call on Golden State. Houston head coach Ime Udoka happy to survive.
Pressure situations are new to some of our guys. Haven't been there before. And you got other guys who've done it every year. And so want to get back to that. And today was a step in the right direction.
Rockets Thunder is the nightcap on Saturday.
You suck, Bogus.
Bill Belichick is indeed the new football coach at North Carolina, pending Board of Trustees approval. That should come later today. Michael Lombardi will be the GM of the Tar Heels program. I don't think we have confirmation yet that Steve Belichick will be the official coach in waiting in Chapel Hill. Far from all of that, we have former BC QB Thomas Castellanos transferring to FSU. You may remember young Tommy leaving the Eagles in November when he lost the starting job.
Is he going to start at FSU?
I don't know, but he played for Gus Malzahn at UCF, so that's the connection.
Also, he torched FSU earlier this season when BC went down there and won.
Right, but he also lost the BC job. And then ghosted them.
Meanwhile, Bill O'Brien.
Right.
Yeah. O'Brien skewed with that kid, too, by the way. We never talked about that. I hated that.
That was not great. But we got to figure out how far down this Belichick coaching tree are we getting to North Carolina. We'll talk about that later.
Wait, how old is Castellano? Is he like
34?
Yeah. I was reading yesterday that Cam Rising was in the same recruiting class with Trevor Lawrence, and Cam might be coming back again next year.
And awesome.
And the other dude from Oklahoma State got another year.
Yeah.
No, yeah, not Alan Bowman.
He's getting year number 8.
Yep.
No. Alan Bowman is coming back to college football.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As an assistant coach?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's basically the same age as Belichick.
He's the dad of Belichick's girlfriend. That's his daughter.
That's the guy they told him not to worry about.
Do you remember Alan Bowman had like a good year under Cliff Kingsbury or somebody like 20 years ago?
In a leather helmet. Men's college hoops last night. 5th-ranked Kentucky held off Colgate 78-67. And the Red Sox sent 4 prospects to the White Sox yesterday for lefty starter Garrett Crochet. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you. In fact, Andrew Kaplan was just asking in our chat, are we going to talk about the Red Sox getting the best pitcher in baseball? It's our resident Boston.
Get this Boston Red propaganda Sox out of here. He's in the chat defending Trae Young. I had enough of Cap today.
Don't say that. He could take it out on you with some mean Photoshops.
Oh, trust me. He's been already zooming on me every time we talk about Trey. He's got Manny looking crazy. This is already bad.
Manny doesn't need any help looking crazy.
I've gotten texted about the way Manny looks this morning.
855-212-4227. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And at Maggie Gray on X. If you want to see Sad Manny.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck at a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Oh, thank God, Maggie. It's Thursday. We finally get back to NFL football. I had to actually watch the stupid Hawks and Knicks game on a red court last night.
The indignity.
I am just, you know how I feel about this. Like, I will not accept the in-season tournament. Maybe I'm being old school. Maybe I'm being crotchety. There's just no way I'm going to be excited for a team to go to Vegas mid-season.
Well, thankfully for you, you do get football tonight, and it's a huge one. The Rams going to the 49ers. Basically, both teams are in a must-win situation. Dan's in California, is a Niner fan, wants to talk about it. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're awesome. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. I'm thinking the Niners probably won't make the playoffs. Yeah, remember, they still got to play at Detroit at home on the Monday night, I think the 30th.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be tough. But the good thing, Dan, is you actually have a lot of division games to try to make up for this deficit that you find yourself in. Our pal George is in L.A. He's our resident Rams fan around here. George, how you feeling about tonight's game?
Oh, good, good. Apparently last week the Rams had their full offensive line in order. The dad, Rob Havenstein, came back. And they look pretty good on their offense. I think they can handle the Niners. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Bosa and Fred Warner are not playing tonight. At least that's what I heard.
Bosa's questionable, so he might play.
Fred Warner was not on the injury report.
Okay. But anyway, I think the Rams will handle them. Just my opinion. They're getting on another level now. And I'm sorry about Buffalo last week. We talked about that. But anyway, Maggie, that guy, Josh Allen's a stud. Absolute stud. Oh, my gosh.
George.
It's just that we were fortunate.
This is the thing, right? And not to go back to that game, because the Bills have their hands full this weekend with the Lions. Got to turn the page really fast here. But the fact that Allen played so well that in a loss, he basically wrapped up the MVP.
Absolutely.
And not even close. I mean, your boy Saquon Barkley was kind of neck and neck with him for a little bit, but it's Allen now.
Well, I mean, there is a possibility. Say the Bills trip up against the Lions and lose another game, and Saquon, somehow the Eagles going to run, and he gets the record. That record is, remember Adrian Peterson stormed in the MVP race at the end by eclipsing 2,000 yards and making the playoffs with the Vikings. But can we recount the conversation we had off air this morning? I had my big plan. The entire NFL playoffs comes down to stopping running quarterbacks. It's Lamar, it's Josh Allen, it's Mahomes in the fourth quarter, it's Jalen Hurts. Goff can't run. Why don't you spy Josh Allen? Like, I watched Josh Allen last week. Like, it's the big runs that kill you. That's why he's winning the MVP. Why doesn't a team just give up a defender and put him on Allen?
Because I think Allen neutralizes those defenders because he plays quarterback like a linebacker. He doles out punishment.
That's, go for his legs.
Well, I think he'll jump over you. You go for his legs, he's going to hurdle you. Mm-hmm. You know, he doles out more punishment than Lamar Jackson does or Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's just a bigger, more physical guy. So, sure, you want to spy him. He's also fast. Now, if you got into a place where a situation where it's a bad weather game, snow, rain, anything, maybe it neutralizes a little bit of his speed, but he's a fast.
Well, I mean, spies have worked on Lamar Jackson to some extent, and Lamar Jackson is twice as fast as Josh Allen.
Like, but he's not as big.
Yeah, I think, like, you never see, like, he was running against the Rams and there wasn't a defender within 25 yards of him. They totally, they turned their back. They went to man coverage and, like, you can't really stop a running quarterback. Like, you have to treat him like a scrambler and they don't.
I know, but this is the other thing where Allen's kind of on a heater right now, which is, and he's kind of, to be fair, he's, knock on wood, not turning the ball over. And he makes these throws on the run. Like, once he's scrambling, he'll pump fake you. Pretend to slide and not slide. He'll take a hit out of bounds and you'll get flagged for a 15-yard penalty. It's not as easy as just saying you're going to spy. He's too smart for that.
He's not doing all that this year. And that's why he's not turning the ball over. I want him moving his feet and throwing the ball. I mean, I cannot watch him have a 25-yard scramble in the fourth quarter and win a playoff game this year. Somebody adjust to that ever? We said every win, it's a close game. Oh, there goes Mahomes. Fourth quarter. Again, last week, like, would you put a spy on that dude, please?
Wouldn't they have already? I mean,
I don't know.
Because it's the same thing with Allen. He'll scramble, but then he'll find Kelsey. He'll find somebody down so you can, like, he'll evade you. He'll be elusive. He'll do some weird arm angle, and you're going to look like a fool.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Mahomes doesn't have any targets now. So who do you have to cover? You definitely have to put, and I do think this, like, Mike Tomlin's the king. But that's a guy who can figure out Mahomes is running. That's a guy who can figure out Lamar Jackson's running. And I'll bet you he can figure out Allen's running. Like, he's really good at stopping running quarterbacks. That is going to be the story of the AFC playoffs.
855-212-4227. So we've got two big things here brewing. We've got, obviously, tonight's game. Rams going to the 49ers. It's huge. Playoff implications, dwindling hopes. And then North Carolina hiring Bill Belichick as their next head coach. We'll talk about it more next.